Welcome back to the CBMW podcast. This is your weekly inoculation against progressive self-expressionism. We're helping you to keep your biblical immune system ready to wage war against every ideological virus. I'm Jonathan Swan, the host, a host of the podcast. I am the executive editor of Icon, a journal for biblical anthropology, and I'm joined by my president, Denny Burke, the president of CBMW, who is outclassing us today with a jacket and a tie. There it is. And we're here with the executive director of CBMW, Colin Smothers. Guys, great to see you again.
Good to see you, John.
Denny, do you have some special lunch after recording today? What's going on here?
I have no special lunch. Okay. You know, allegedly you're supposed to be wearing a tie and everything if you have lunch with Dr. Moeller. I had lunch with him last week, but I didn't wear a tie. But here I have one today. This is just for the students.
Okay, not to make up for the lunch. Well, we have a very exciting article to talk about. In fact, it's the only thing that we're allowed to talk about. I sent a text to the brothers yesterday saying, hey, what are we going to cover on the podcast? And Colin Smothers sent back, there's only one option. In fact, actually, he didn't say that. I misread his text to say there's only one option. He was just saying, here's one option. And that one option is an Atlantic article, because Colin is a frequent reader of The Atlantic. The title of the article is The Tide Goes Out on Youth Gender Medicine. American doctors are no longer united on the wisdom of medicalizing gender dysphoria in minors. Colin, why is this the only article we're allowed to talk about today?
Before I respond, John, I feel like I have to clear my name. I'm not an Atlantic subscriber. Somebody had to send me an unlocked link. So
that's right.
Fake news, John, is what you're peddling. I do think you're right, John, that this is the only option, as you read my text, to talk about
misread
this week. That's right. Because the headline of this Atlantic article is really the whole story. And it's the fact that it's appearing in the Atlantic. The headline is The Tide Goes Out on Youth Gender Medicine. Of course, the topic is what we've been discussing in prior weeks, even at the beginning of this year, or last year, I should say, with Trump administration executive orders, these kinds of things. And what's happening is the Atlantic, of all places, is beginning to play catch up on the trend of what is happening in the greater medical establishment and the wider culture regarding transgenderism and transgender treatments, specifically for youth. So this is in the aftermath of the Fox Varian case, which she won, and they were and she was awarded $2 million by the jury. And not only that, but in the aftermath of that, the American Society of Plastic Surgeons came out and said, we're actually going to step back from our from offering these kinds of surgeries to minors. Right after that, the American Medical Association was asked a question about it, and they seem to have taken a step back. And now this is appearing in the Atlantic, yes, for their very liberal readership, their very liberal base, and they're having to read this article that says the tide goes out on youth gender medicine. I think the fact alone of this article's appearance is why this is a important topic to talk about.
Denny, what are some of the key takeaways, arguments made in the article that make it just so important, especially that it appeared in the Atlantic?
The big thing is that you've got basically a liberal publication, probably one of the mainstream liberal publications, acknowledging that the science just isn't there. I mean, they're saying that they're acknowledging that the science isn't there. So you know what they've been saying all up until now? Trust the science. Mm-hmm. That's what they've been saying. But it's been smoke and mirrors the whole time. For me, that's what's astonishing. Now, I say they. I don't mean the Atlantic. I mean the left more broadly. So the left has been saying, look, here's all these studies we have. Here's what the science says. And they'll point to some very obscure things. They'll ignore mountains of other things that are contrary to what their case was. And that's what they've been doing forever. And then left-wing publications have just kind of been giving them a pass based on that. Mm. That seems to have changed.
I mean, something is changing now. And for me, that's the biggest deal. I mean, I when I saw this, I sent it to you guys after I saw it, really just because like this was, I was so astonished that they're saying it. I mean, they sound like us, honestly. Yeah. I mean, in many ways, they sound like us. Now, they don't sound theologically like us, but they sound like, hey, you know, there's reason to be skeptical about this. People have been harmed by this. Doctors are now going to be reluctant to pursue these procedures because of this. I mean, that's even now being acknowledged. You know, who's going to be willing to do these procedures if you can get sued and have to pay $2 million, like what's going on with the Fox Varian case? So just the acknowledgement that this has happened is a massive, massive sea change. Just to remind everybody how mainstream this was in the mid-2000s. I remember in the early 2000s, first hearing about this child named Jazz Jennings, I think was his last name, who was experiencing gender confusion and with the help of his mother decided to transition to become a female. And this child went through this transition, a social transition, first of all, and then, you know, started doing hormones and all of that. And then before the child was of age, before he became 18, the mother approved a complete mutilation of his reproductive organs when he was like 17. So,
and this was all televised, by the way.
They
had cameras in the room.
That's the point that I'm leading up to. This was a show on television where they traced his transition. And so this was like followed on TV and people were watching this. And, you know, in the country, it was, I guess, supposed to be thinking, oh, this is normal, that we would remove the healthy reproductive organs of a 17-year-old boy. And yet that's what they did. And it turned out with him, because he had been on these puberty blockers for so long, they have to create a false female anatomy. But to do that, they use the old male anatomy and they make a cavern out of it, basically. But he didn't have enough because they'd been suppressing his puberty. And so they had to sew in a piece of intestine to make the false female anatomy. I mean, it was crazy, horrible, macabre stuff. And this happened when, like 2016, 2017, somewhere around there. Where were the cries of alarm then? I mean, where was this? To me, people should have been, it was so common sense. What science, what possible science could tell you that that was okay? You know, I don't know what it was, but I'm glad we've talked about this before, but the fever seems to be breaking some. And I hope that this will go away, not just for children, but also for adults.
Yeah. There's a couple of things that are said in the article that, like you said, Denny, sound like us. So there's an admission of what they call the affirmative model of transgender care, showing that there's problems with it. The affirmative model of transgender care is basically listening to the child and affirming the child in their gender conclusion. And then in so many cases, Fox Varian, within 11 months of having this gender crisis, they're getting a mastectomy or any other kind of surgery. On the other side of that, there's so much regret, remorse, and worse mental health outcomes. Then this is another big one that's in that article, is there's the admission of the claim of suicide being emotional blackmail. We've heard it for years now, where doctors tell parents, if you don't let your child have this gender reassignment surgery, you're going to have a suicidal kid. And so that's been used as emotional blackmail for years. And so now the Atlantic is showing that to have always been a fraud.
Well, and here's the thing, you know, I want listeners and viewers just to be thinking about the way that we all got conditioned by propaganda. And I say we because I'm being generous. I actually wasn't buying this, but there were a lot of people that were buying this, but they were being conditioned by propaganda. And you'll remember what happens in a propaganda war is you start to euphemize ugly things, wrong things. And so the things are still wrong and ugly, but you start calling them different things in the hopes that you'll get people to start thinking differently so that they'll think that the evil thing is a good thing. So do you remember, listeners, viewers, back in the, 2010, 2000s, and before, we used to use a phrase called sex change surgeries. Do you remember the phrase sex change surgeries? Mm-hmm. Have you noticed that the activists have removed that from the vernacular? Because they don't want you to say sex change. They don't want you to say, you know, anything like that that would suggest what's really going on. They've replaced it with, for a while, it was a gender reassignment surgery. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then they changed it to gender affirmation surgery. Okay. So gender affirmation, what does that mean? It means if you think yourself to be something that's at odds with your body, what you think needs to be affirmed. Okay. Mm-hmm. Even though it's at odds with your body. That, and so they said, let's call it gender affirmation surgery. That sounds a lot better than sex change. Sex change surgery sounds, what does that sound like? It sounds macabre. It sounds like there could be some surgical removal of important things going on. Mm-hmm. And so they changed the language, and this happens all the time. And so now everybody's running around talking about gender affirming care, gender affirmation surgery, but really what you're doing, it's not gender affirmation surgery. It's body destroying surgery. It's where you remove healthy organs and destroy them, and you make a person unable to reproduce mm-hmm. when you do this. They were doing this with a lot of young women, and where they were Foxvarian, you know, where they do a double mastectomy. And they'll tell these girls, if you ever want them back, we can do a surgery to reconstruct breasts. You never have functioning breasts again. And so the sad thing about the Foxvarian story was that she's coming to terms with the fact she'll never breastfeed. And so these are all things that should, you know, a child should not be able to do that. A child should not be able to, a parent should not be able to consent to have their child's healthy organs destroyed. It just shouldn't happen. But it was happening. And there's been thousands of them across the country. And it's just a really sad case. But we need to pay attention, because this is not going to stop. On this issue, we've seen what happens with the propaganda and the way that they euphemize evil. Just have your antenna up, because what's going to happen when they want to mainstream the next evil thing is they're going to euphemize it. I mean, they did it with – think about the pro-life debate, right? We don't call it abortion anymore. What do the activists want to call it? They want to call it
pro-choice. Healthcare. Yeah,
they want to call it
reproductive rights.
They want to call it reproductive rights or healthcare. They don't want to talk about the fact that you dismember a living human baby inside the womb and take them out piece by piece. They don't want to say that.
Sell those pieces,
because that doesn't sell to anybody. So that's an evil thing, and everybody recognizes it as evil. And so what you do is you call it this other thing. You call it healthcare, but really you're just killing another person. So you have to be, everybody has to be aware of this, because this strategy is not going to stop. They're going to euphemize and try to make you feel better about evil. And we can't let stuff like this happen again, because this is a great scandal.
Well, I think, Denny, the propaganda angle is spot on. And just for our listeners who are not familiar with The Atlantic, maybe you're not a daily reader. Maybe you're
like,
not
call
even,
it is.
That's
like
right. the reason why this is such a shocking article and why it's so newsworthy is The Atlantic itself was part of the propaganda war. Listen to this headline from 1 year ago. This was January 2025, pages of The Atlantic. Here's the headline: "The attack on trans rights won't end there," by Adam Serwer. Now, I want to read for you a sentence from this article. Keep in mind, today we're talking about the Atlantic article that was run, waking up to the truth about transgenderism, rejecting the very propaganda that was printed in these pages. So this is what was written 1 year ago in the Atlantic. It says, talking about Donald Trump's executive orders, Donald Trump is already making good on his promise to persecute trans people zealously. They go on to cite the military executive orders, and the other executive orders that he rolled out. And then listen to this sentence: "A day later, Trump issued a second executive order that could make gender affirming care," there's that term, Denny, "for young people unavailable in most of the country." That's exactly what we're talking about here. And it was the pages of The Atlantic celebrating not only the gender affirming care, but then lamenting Donald Trump's curtailment of it. Again, for the benefit of young people across this country, for their health. And The Atlantic, that was the propaganda war that has been being waged up until literally like a couple weeks ago, maybe months ago. It's still continuing, but we're starting to see the dominoes fall and the dam is breaking.
Well, and listen, think about this. What if some of these orders had gone into effect, I don't know, before Fox Varian made her decision, when mm-hmm. she was struggling? Okay, you listen to her now lament the loss that she's feeling because she'll never be able to breastfeed. That's gone for her. Who knows about her fertility overall after all the hormones and stuff? So who knows? But let's just imagine, what if we had had somebody in government saying, we're not going to do this anymore, and we'd had it before she made her decision to undergo these procedures.
Yeah.
And she was spared from that, and she didn't go through the double mastectomy, and she didn't take all of these drugs suppressing her fertility and, you know, all the rest. What if that never had happened? The Atlantic was calling that persecution. Like, to prevent that from happening to her, they're calling that persecution of trans people. That's not persecution. That's a rescue, right? That's saving them from heartache. It's saving them from destroying their own bodies. And so, again, it's propaganda, and you have to pay attention to how the left wants to manipulate common sense into believing that evil is good and good is evil. And I keep using that phrase because it's a biblical phrase. The Bible says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Like, when you swap those things and you manipulate things so much that you start to convince people that something evil is good, you've done something, you know, something really abominable. And that's what's been happening with all of this. And that's what's been happening with the propaganda. And, you know, I just hope that we can have our eyes wide open about this, and we can resist it more effectively in the future.
Amen. Well, thank you for listening, getting your weekly inoculation. Hopefully this isn't any kind of propaganda, theological warfare. We want to bring you biblical truth. So, brothers, thank you so much. And thank you for all who are watching and listening. Find out more about our ministry at cbmw.org.